Turn to the book of Ruth for our scripture reading this morning. The book of Ruth in the chapter 1, please. The book of Ruth in the chapter 1. We're going to commence reading the verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. The woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return unto thee, or with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that ye may be, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. And with our Bibles open before us, let's unite in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God, we thank thee, even for the hymn that we have just been singing, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. And Lord, we can truly say, we love thee because thou didst first love us. Thou didst leave the splendors of glory and come down into this world and offer thyself a one-time sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, we pray even now as we come to the preaching part of the service, that thou wilt hedge us about with that precious blood of the Lamb. We pray for thy Holy Spirit. Lord, anoint us this morning with power from on high. Empty us of self and of sin, and fill us full of the Holy Ghost this morning, we pray thee. Lord, speak to each and every one that is gathered in this morning. May there be that word in season for each and every heart, for the saved and for the unsaved alike, for the cold at heart and for the child of God that is striving forward. Lord, speak to us now. Speak to my heart. Speak to every single heart that is found in this church this morning, we pray thee. Lord, glorify thy name in all that is done and said. For Jesus' sake. Amen. This chapter, which we have read this morning, it details for us the life of a woman by the name of Naomi. This woman is an Israelite by birth. She had the privilege of being born into the land of Canaan. She had the privilege of being brought up in a land which had been given to them by Almighty God. She had the privilege of learning many, many of the tales, many, many of the stories, many, many of the historical accounts of what the Lord God had done in the past. As we find out in the verse 1, it says, In the days when the judges ruled, we find Naomi, she is living in the land at a time after the exodus of Egypt. Naomi and Elimelech, they come to this land and they are born into the country in a time of relative peace. The time the exodus has passed, the 40 years in the wilderness has come to an end. The Israelites by this stage have crossed over the river Jordan. They have conquered and defeated all the great cities, all the great kings in the land of Canaan. And now, Joshua's dead. Judge after judge has come up. Yes, there's been those times of backsliding by the people. There's been those times whenever the Lord had to deal with them. And Naomi and Elimelech, we find them here in this land of Bethlehem, the city which means the city of bread. But we find that all is not well. As the book of Ruth opens, it is a period and a time of famine. There is no food. There is no provision for the people. And the personal circumstances in that land at that time and the nation as a whole, they are struggling. The blessings which they once enjoyed, seemingly to the human eye, are not available and are not so easily to come by. In this chapter, I believe there is a number of lessons which we can learn through the life of Naomi. Lessons which I believe that we need to learn and we need to apply to our own lives. The first lesson which we want to look at and we want to learn from Naomi this morning is the state that her life was in. The state that her life was in. If you read down through from the verse 1 to the first 5, we find a woman who, along with her husband and along with her children, they're in a land at that time that is struggling for food. And so they take the decision, they look to the world. That world they look to is a country called Moab. And yet, the children of Israel, time after time, they knew of the Lord's provision for them in the past. Time after time, the law had been read aloud. They knew how the Lord had provided in the wilderness year after year for 40 years. Manna was there every single morning. Water was coming out of a rock to give them that liquid that they needed for their bodies. For 40 years, their shoes never needed a new sole on them. For 40 years, their garments, they never needed new clothing. And yet, at this time, whenever they are in the promised land, the land which the Lord had given to them, and suddenly there's a period of hardship, there's a period of dearth, there's a period of barrenness, and immediately Naomi and Elimelech, they take their eyes off the Lord, and they look to the world. They don't look to the author and the finisher of their faith. They don't look to the one who has provided for them in the past. They don't look to the one who promised Joshua, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They look to themselves. You know, we think of the life of Naomi. And then we think of the situation even that we have in our own land. We live, we have to be honest, in a day when the outpouring of God's Spirit is not what it once was. We live in a land that has been blessed and steeped in the gospel of Jesus Christ down through the generations. Or we can think back to 1859. We can read the historical accounts of how God moves in our own land here. We can read of how the Lord blessed the thousands upon thousands of souls that the Lord saved here in Northern Ireland. We can read of what Whitfield accomplished by the power of God in England and America. We can read of the days of Wesley. We can even read in nearer times to now, 1920s with Nicholson, down there in the docks, and how the Lord moved and how the Lord blessed. We can even think to the early days of our own denomination. We can think the 60s, the 70s, churches springing up all around the country. We can think of the great missions that Dr. Paisley conducted and other great men of God in the past and the many, many souls that were saved. I remember even just a while ago, Ballymena, they celebrated the 40th anniversary of the great 75 mission. How over 370 souls were saved in that one mission just 40 years ago in our own land. And yet, if we are honest, yes, there's still the mercy drops and praise God for them. But today in our land, there is not the same respect for the book. There is not the same respect in our land today for the Word of God. There is not the same honor that is given to God. Rather, His name is desecrated. His name is defiled. His name is mocked up and down our land. Even in the last week it was on the news, there is a play that is coming to Belfast and they're blaspheming the name of God beyond belief. And you read those things. And you look in our congregations, we can come here week by week, and let's be honest, we can look at the empty seats. And we can say, yes, it's barren. Yes, it's dry. Child of God, learn from Naomi this morning. You don't look at others. You don't look to the world. You look to Christ. How often in our denomination, how often in our land, people are so quick to point the finger at others and say, oh, it must be the minister's fault, it must be the elder's fault, it must be this, that, and the other. But they forget to look at themselves. Naomi and Elimelech, the times got hard. They didn't look to the Lord. They didn't rely on the Lord. Rather, they took their eyes off God and they fixed them upon Moab and they said, I'm going there. Oh, we'll pack up, we'll take all our belongings. Our two children will move to the land of Moab. Moab was full of sin. Moab was a land which was of constant strife to the children of God. You find that in Judges 3, verses 12 to 14. Moab was a land which was hated and despised of God. In Psalm 60, in the verse 8, God says, Moab is my wash pot. Moab is only good enough to wash the feet of my people. That's all Moab was for. But yet, Naomi and Elimelech, they chose to follow the world. The glitz, the glam, the easy life, the food, everything that was available in Moab, they chose to go there and to leave the will of God. Sadly, there are so many of our children, there's so many of the children of God today, they'll follow the world. They'll follow the worldly churches. I have had the privilege of going around many churches and deputations with the students. There's been ones which I maybe knew in the past growing up. Sadly, many of our young people, there's a certain middle generation in our denomination has disappeared. And they have went the way of the world, the worldly churches, the churches where you get, as it were, tickled every Sunday. You leave feeling good. You leave with that easy believism. You go along to the churches and you get prizes for going to churches. Those churches are full to the brim. But nobody is being fed with the Word of God. Child of God, there's so many of those churches today, and they bit by bit they bring more and more of the world into them until God is outside the door. The Lord doesn't have a place in those churches. Naomi and Elimelech, they chose to follow the world. They wanted to be comfortable. They wanted to have an easy life. They wanted to provide as best as they could for themselves, and so they moved. And they went to Moab. For a while, things went well. They settled down, they got a house. Then God steps in. See, child of God, man and woman this morning, God is a merciful God, but sooner or later, sin has to be judged. Sin has to be punished. Oh, we may think we're getting away with it. We may think, oh, we'll do it our way and everything will be okay. Look how the Lord's blessing for me not going and doing this for the Lord. And Naomi and Elimelech, they settled down in that land and they thought, oh, we've got the food on the table every day. We've been molten by the Moabite people. We're all settled in. Everything's going well. But God steps in and says, enough. And Elimelech dies. And yet, Naomi loses her husband. Doesn't send her back to the Lord. 10 years pass. Two boys grew up, Mahlon and Chilion. They meet two young girls of the Moabite people. And they settle down with them and they marry them. And once again, God says, did you not learn the first time? Well, here's another reminder. Mahlon and Chilion die. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Tell me this morning, what is your standing with God? Are you cold at heart? Are you backslidden this morning? Are you trying to make it through this life going the way that you want to go? Are you making your own journey in life and you're not consulting the Lord? If you're saying yes to all those questions, learn from Naomi this morning. If you're not walking as the Lord would have you to walk, if you're not in the will of God, sooner or later the Lord will have to step in. And I don't know what way He will step in. The Lord will always deal with sin. Naomi found herself in a land. Suddenly the land and the life that she had is completely gone. She is there in that far off land from Bethlehem. She is far from God and suddenly she is empty. Her husband's dead. Now her two sons are dead. She is alone. Praise God. He is merciful. See, in the second instance, we see in the life of Naomi the news and the yearning. Verse 6 of the chapter 1, it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Now here was Naomi, far from God in a far off land, completely in the world, and yet the Lord in His mercy, He allowed her to hear the news that once again there was bread in the land. Once again there was bread in the land of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is living up to its name. God is providing. God could have left her in the land of Moab never to hear that there was bread. Never to hear of the blessings which the Bethlehemites and the Israelites were enjoying. But yet God in His mercy, He opened the door. And suddenly one day Naomi heard the news. God is moving once again. Naomi, God is blessing in the land which you left. Praise God, even though we may be in a time of barrenness and we may be in a time of dearth, there is coming a day when the Lord will bless again. The Lord will always bless His people when they are turned to Him. The Lord will always have a people in every single day and in every single generation. There has never been a time, you can go down through the thousands of years that have passed into eternity, there has never been a time when the gospel has not been preached and when there has not been a faithful generation. And yes, we can look around and we can see our churches are aging. Praise God, God will raise up another generation. Naomi heard the news. She wanted to get back. She wanted to get back to the land of the plenty once again. She wanted to get back to where the Lord was blessing once again. Tell me, do we yearn for that today? Over these last number of years, we have read in our Vision magazine and we have rejoiced at what has happened in Nepal. Maybe you've heard, maybe the Reverend Graham has been here doing deputation and you've heard of the blessing, you've heard of the churches that have been raised up there in that dark land of Nepal and you have seen how the Lord has blessed and moved. Tell me, are we yearning for that? When you read the revival accounts, whether it be in our own land or in the mainland or across the world, and you read those accounts in the books, tell me, does it burn in our hearts to say, Lord, let it happen in our land? Lord, come and move. Naomi was here in the land of Moab. She wanted to get back so bad. She wanted to experience the blessing for herself. Tell me, is that us? In your heart this morning, can you honestly say, I want revival in our land? Can you honestly say, I pray every single day, I pray, Lord, revive this land? Tell me, do we come together and pray for it? Are we found in the prayer meeting? Before the services? In the midweek? Yes, I know there's ones who are involved in maybe the door. I know there's ones who are involved in leaving the children home, and I thank you on behalf of the Lord for your service. But tell me, if you're available and you're able to be in a time of prayer, are you there? Are you praying? Do you pray on a Sunday morning as the minister comes week by week? Are you found on your knees? Lord, bless our minister today as he's in that pulpit preaching. Lord, bless the Sunday school teachers who are involved in the children's work. Lord, bless the ones who are involved in the school. Bless the ones who are involved in the door-to-door. Lord, let's see you move once again in our land. Is that the yearning of your heart today? David, I remember the words of David. He came into the camp there in 1 Samuel 17. Goliath came and he challenged the children of Israel and he defied them and he defied Almighty God. And David at that stage is but a shepherd boy. No military training. All he's done is care for sheep. And yet Goliath stands up and he defies Almighty God and David says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Child of God, this morning, are we yearning for souls? Do we yearn for the sinners that are found in the Newton Abbey area? Are we yearning this morning for each and every one that walks past those gates, that drives past them, that we see in the doors? Are we yearning for them? The rich and the poor ones. The ones that are the drunks, the drug addicts, the ones that have a hard life. Are we just yearning for the upstanding ones in society? I had the privilege at the end of the summer to be involved in an outdoor children's mission along with one of our churches. The format was they had three children's meetings a day in different housing estates. And one particular day in the evening time meeting, there was a lady come up and the children were running about playing just before we started the meeting. And she came up and she asked if her child could come to the meeting. And I said to her, of course, no problem. And then I started to talk to her. And she was telling me how her child, every night before the child went to bed, she made the mummy read the Bible with her. And I started to ask the lady, about her own spiritual standing. She told me that she'd spent many months in Holywell. She'd been a drug addict. And there in Holywell, she got clean. She says the best medicine she had the entire time in Holywell was the Bible. She read it every day. When she got out of Holywell and she was signed off, as it were, they'd said she was clean, she could return to her house. She went along to her local church. She went into the church and she sat down. It wasn't a free church, might I add, but she sat down in that church. And every single person in that church, they knew her. They knew the life that she had led. And they looked her up and down as if she was a piece of dirt. Until she couldn't take it anymore and she got up and she walked out. They weren't rejoicing at a drug addict who got clean coming in under the sound of the gospel. Rather, they were looking at her going, ugh, what's she doing in here? Tell me, are we yearning for the worst of sinners in our area? Are we yearning for every single kind of unsaved, whether they be rich or poor, whether they be drug addict or alcoholic, or whether they have the worst problems in life? At the end of the day, they're sinners just the same as us. Are we yearning for them? Oh, we say, Lord, bless us with the right kind. Are we saying, Lord, bless us with every single person in this area? Naomi, she yearned to get back. Then thirdly and finally, notice with me the action that she took. Verse 6 and verse 7, she arose with her daughters-in-law. She might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. See, Naomi determined in her heart she was going back to the land of the plenty. She was returning to the land of provision. She was getting back to the Lord. And look what she was willing to give up to get back there. She was leaving behind her house in Moab. She was leaving behind all her possessions. She was also leaving behind the graves of her husband and her two children with the knowledge that she would never ever see them again. She was willing to forsake everything to get back to the Lord. She was willing to forsake everything to get back to the land of the plenty, to get back to the provision of the Lord once again. Tell me, what are we willing to give up to get back to the land of the plenty? What are we willing to give up on our own lives to get back to the blessing of the Lord once again? We examine ourselves this morning and we say, well, Lord, if I am being honest, there are certain things that are holding me back. Lord, I'd love to go to the prayer meeting every week, but that clashes with my hobbies. That clashes with my fitness regime. I'm involved in this and that. I can't give them up. Oh, I'd love to be at the prayer meeting on the Sunday morning, but that would mean having to get up 5 minutes earlier in the morning. Tell me, are we willing to give things up for the Lord? Oh, hobbies and interests, they are important. You need that time whenever you can switch off. You need that time of relaxation in your life. Everybody does. There has to be that interest. There has to be something that you can relax by. For brethren and sisters, if those hobbies always clash with the meetings in the church, then you need to have a look at yourself. And I say this in love. We need to be careful about what we prioritize in our lives. If we are prioritizing everything over the Lord, then there is a problem. Naomi came to the realization in her life she was willing to give up everything to get back to the Lord and to get back to the plenty. And the issue was exactly the same. 1 Kings 19 and verse 21. Whenever Elijah came and he placed the mantle upon Elisha's shoulders, Elisha was there at that time. He was plowing the fields. He was a farmer. And Elijah came and he placed the mantle upon him, that sign that things were changing, that sign that Elisha was now being called into the service. And what did Elisha do? He broke up his plow, he burnt it, and he killed his cows. For Elisha, there was no going back. There was only forward. Child of God, let us learn this morning from the life of Naomi. Number one, never ever to leave the will of God. No matter how hard things get, no matter how desolate or how barren it may seem in the Christian life, never ever leave the will of God. Never ever take your eyes off the one who saved you, the one who loves you. And also remember, always keep our eyes upon Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And may we yearn for harvest. May we yearn for the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon our land once again. May we yearn to get back to the land of plenty. May we yearn to the point where we're on our knees, crying unto the Lord, Lord, revive us. Revive our land. Child of God, let us be faithful to the Lord. Let us be busy for the Lord. And He will move. And He will bless. And once again, we will see our churches filled. Once again, we will see souls being saved. That we may see our families won for Christ. We may see our neighbors, no matter how bad their lives are, miraculously transformed and changed forever. Oh, it's possible. But let us be yearning for it. May the Lord bless His word.